To really understand New York sports, you gotta breathe it, live it, experience it. Whether you're watching DeGrom strike out batters at Citi Field, or watching Randle Barrett and the Knicks at the Garden, heck, even watching KD, Kyrie, or Harden drop 50 in Brooklyn. Whether you're a Yankees fan, Rangers fan, Giants fan, Jets fan, or even an Islanders fan, there's one thing they all got in common. They represent this city, just like this podcast does. Rotten Apple Sports. Tune in.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Rotten Apple Sports Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks, guys, and there's a lot of things to talk about. Mainly the Jets and the Giants and the great draft that they had last week. We're going to go over mostly the Jets and their draft. I'll go over some stuff with the Giants and their first round picks, but I'll save the Giants mostly for when Larry's back and we can get his perspective as a big time Giant fan. We have to talk about the Nets and their disappointing ending of a season, their embarrassment of a playoff series, and the fact that we got some news on Ben Simmons earlier today. And then lastly, I'll end it with the Mets and their 18-9 start to the season. Seeing a lot of good things, seeing some things I don't like. But let's start off with the Jets, man. And it was about a week ago. I was really nervous getting into this season and knowing that the Jets, while Joe Douglas has made some improvement, the Jets have a lot of places where they need to get better at. A lot of things to do. They came in with the 4th pick and the 10th pick. So you know they had opportunity to get at least two day one starters, and maybe 4 day one starters when you count the other second round picks they had. They had pick 35 and 38. So let's just start at the beginning. Again, me, myself going in, I either want the Sauce Gardner or I want the Thibodeau. I was in love with the fact that I've been saying it for a long time that the Jets haven't had a pass rusher in over a decade. So I was very, very focused on the first couple of picks because, you know, when we went into this draft, it seemed like there wasn't a clear number one. So there were rumors that Aiden Hutchinson can go one. There were rumors that he could go two, that Tibb can go two, that Sauce Gardner can go two. And Trayvon Walker went one. We knew Hutchinson was going to the Lions very quickly, you know, hometown boy. And it's good PR, good player, safe pick, and they went with him. So when the Texans were on at 3, it was a question. Were they going to go corner? Were they going to go offensive lineman? Were they going to go pass rusher? And again, I was nervous because I always knew there was a chance that Joe Douglas would go offensive lineman if they took the player he wanted at 3. It turns out that the Texans took Stingley Jr., and I left the Jets with something to think about. I left the Jets with the rest of the board, and they got their guy. They got Sauce Gardner at 4. I was very happy. And I know a lot of Jet fans were happy. And while we needed a pass rusher, and little did we know that would get solved later on, we definitely needed a pass rusher. And what happened was, they went with Gardner, and I love Gardner because even though he wasn't from a big school and he was a corner, and, you know, a lot of people say, how do you take a DB that early? You know, the hype and what he brings and what he could bring for the Salah defense is amazing. He hasn't allowed a touchdown in college. Think about that. Now, one touchdown allowed. He's a lengthy player. He's a good player. He comes with speed. He's cocky. You see them with the Sauce Gardner chain. You know, fans are into stuff like that. So I was very happy with Sauce Gardner at 4. Then I thought to myself, okay, maybe we can get a pass rusher in round 2, or maybe we can sneak back in. I even thought there was a chance that they can get the pass rusher at 10. But I also knew if they didn't go wide receiver at 10, that they were taking a chance that the pass, that the wide receiver, the other wide receivers would be taken. And we saw after the Jets took Garrett Wilson, which was their pick at 10, the wide receiver started to fly off the board. So they did a great job. They got who they believe, from according to what we see, they believe they got their top, you know, the top wide receiver on the board. And, you know, you can't, I don't see how anybody can be upset with this Garrett Wilson pick. Me personally, I kind of wanted Jameson Williams, but I can see why with the injury they didn't go there. Garrett Wilson, I don't want to say he's a safe pick, but at that area, wide receiver, remember Drake London was taken eighth, so he wasn't available. So they went with Garrett Wilson, and I think very happy with the first two picks. And, you know, you could have turned off the draft and get ready for the next day, we thought. Little did we know that Joe Douglas, doing what he did last year, traded back. He traded back at 26 and got the pass rusher many people say he wanted at 10. And that's Jermaine Johnson, who, by the way, is an older player, 23 years old. So that has to come into effect, him being an older player. But they got a pass rusher, a wide receiver, and a corner. Many believe the top corner, the type wide receiver, and not the top pass rusher, but definitely with the top four at 26. That's an amazing first round. And for a team lacking in so many areas, the Jets had an amazing, amazing, amazing round one. Now we'll skip over to the next day. I don't know what to expect. You know, they could get a safety. They could go look at O-line help. I didn't expect what happened. And they traded up with the Giants. They only traded up two spots. The Giants got an extra fifth, I believe. And they went and they got Breece Hall, who many believe is the best running back in this draft. Now, as the days went on, you could see people arguing over, is it safe? Is it smart to give up assets to move up to trade for a running back? Whether you think you agree with that or not, which I don't, I think Breece Hall is going to be a hell of a player here. And the bottom line is getting Zach Wilson weapons, because you have but so much time to see if he's the guy. And they didn't do it with Darnold. And in order to see if he's the guy, you have to surround him with weapons. Now, not getting ahead of ourselves, but Zach Wilson has very little excuses. He has a decent to good offensive line. He has Breece Hall, Michael Carter in the backfield. He has Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. I want to say Mims, but you never know, he's going to be hit or miss, but he's still there. He got two tight ends via free agency. Two good ones. And he got a wide receiver last year. So with those two tight ends came a third tight end. With their next pick, they took Jeremy Rucker at Ohio State, teammate of Garrett Wilson. Family was over the moon. Big-time Jet fans, long-time Jet fans, and it was just great to see on TV for him and his family. I could just imagine if that was me ever getting drafted by the Mets, the Jets, or the Nets, I'd be out of this world. So he had to be one of the happiest men alive. And if you look at those picks, those first five picks, you tell me, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, Jeremy Rucker. That's a big time draft. That's a big time haul for an organization and a quarterback that needed it. Now, the Jets wrapped up the draft. Since they traded up, they finished very early day three. They went with Max Mitchell, an offensive lineman who can play multiple spots. And the Jets have now depth in that offensive line. Last year and the year before, if someone was out, it was a nightmare. You didn't know who was going to sub in. You didn't know what kind of quality of play they were going to have. But they have decent depth now. So, again, this just adds into what Zach Wilson has. and the lack of excuses he's going to have because they have depth at multiple places. And the last pick of the draft for them was Michael Clemens. Now, he has some off-field issues, but and I know it's hard to take that away, but when you take that away and you look at the talent he has, he can bring pressure to the quarterback too. So I'm over the moon over this draft. I applaud Joe Douglas. Is it going to translate to wins this season? I don't know. I'm not positive it is. But even if it doesn't, this man, Joe Douglas, has done everything he can to surround his could-be franchise quarterback with talent or with the ability to see if he has it or not. I don't know if he doesn't take that next step, if they're going for a quarterback next year. I would doubt it. But I would say if he was going to take a step, this draft, this offseason helped mightily. Now, quickly, before I just go to the Giants, I want to say there was a lot of excitement about whether the Jets would trade for Deebo Samuel. It didn't work out. The Jets made an offer. I got to admit, it was an offer I wouldn't expect San Francisco to take. And we know Joe Douglas is not one to overpay for someone. You can see when he makes trades, he tries to win them. He has that Danny Ainge in him. So it didn't work out. I would have loved to see Deebo Samuel here. Didn't happen, but I'm more than happy with the draft the Jets did. Moving on to the Giants, who I think they hit a grand slam in the first round. The Giants came in. They have a new GM. So the Giants, you know, they're trying to lay the groundwork. They're kind of in the situation where Joe Douglas was in when he first got here. So they have these good picks, and Gettleman didn't do a lot. And I know Larry wasn't a huge fan of Gettleman, but Gettleman getting them that extra pick this year very much helped because they were able to improve two spots, and they were able to get a big-time pass rusher, one who I think is going to be a star. One who, again, if he was there for the Jets, it was either Sauce Gardner or him. And I know a lot of the Giant fans I know are over the moon. They're so happy with their draft. The first round, at least. I know there was a lot of question marks of what they did day two, day three. But we can't argue with what they did in the first round. We all know, watching the Giant games, that they need a lot of help at multiple spots. But when you get Kayvon Thibodeau and you get Neal as an offensive lineman and pass rusher, and you put it with the players they have already, does it make them a playoff contender? I think not. I think it matters. You know, there's a lot of holes in the team, and they know that. But it's a tremendous start. And I know the Giant fans out there couldn't be happier with that first round. Now we're going to move on to the Brooklyn Nets, who, since we last spoke, were swept out of the first round in embarrassing fashion. They were gutless. They were heartless. They were coachless. And Boston ate their food. Boston attacked at will. Boston attacked the matchups. The Nets at the end of the day were too small. And it was just a fitting end to a disgusting season and a season I never want to think about again. But with the Nets, this is the way things go, and this is how things continue. So, of course, the season ends. Simmons never played a game, even though he was heavily rumored to come back and play game four. And what happens? Yesterday night, we get an alert. Ben Simmons is going to need back surgery. He got that back surgery earlier today. According to reports, the surgery went well, and he's going to be out 3 to 4 months. Now, there's a long time before next season starts, but even before the surgery, there was questions about his mental health, and now, just as a Net fan who hated last season, it's going to be the same thing going into next season. Wondering who's playing every game, and already from the start, we have to wonder if Simmons is going to be ready to play. I'm not going to get too much into the Nets because it's depressing for me and because it's not their time. as the draft gets closer, as free agency gets closer, I'd get back to talking to the Nets. But for now, it's very, very strange times and a lot of question marks going forward. I'd like to move on to baseball, and the Yankees lost last night. However, they had an 11-game winning streak in which the power showed. Their bullpen was amazing. Their bullpen has been amazing. Their starters were really good. And for the time being, for now, the Yankees look like the best team in baseball. I guess that happens when you do win 11 games in a row. But when you look at the bullpen and how strong it is, and you look at their power bats, and you look at guys like Judge, who's on fire, and you look at the way that offense can attack you, they're going to be a problem all season. They're going to be a really good team. And they won 11 in a row, and the Yankee fans should be really excited. On to the Mets, who are 18-9 as we record this, even though they're getting spanked today in Philly. I can't be happier with the start that they had, that they have. The rotation has been pitching very, very well, and that's without DeGrom. And, you know, DeGrom's not coming back anytime soon. And we never, as Met fans, want to get too hyped because, you know, we've seen this before where they play well early and then, you know, they falter down the line. But there's nothing that we can't be happy about tonight as we speak. 18-9, they're about to be 18-10 in first place. They haven't lost a series all year. Like I said, the bullpen is a hit or miss. That's one of the issues that I have with them. I also have an issue with the lineup and the fact that there's not enough power. However, you can't complain with the runs they've scored because they give really tough at bats. They got guys that walk. They got guys that grind at bats like Nimmo and Canna. And Lindor started really hot. Pete Alonso's the only power bat, though. So I think that's a problem. I think you're going to need more home runs. And home runs aren't everything because we saw with the Yankees, they had problems scoring other ways in the playoffs the last couple of years. But sometimes a good 2-3-1 shot, it opens up games. It keeps teams at bay. It keeps you in games. So down the stretch, and it's not even down the stretch because the season just started. But within the next month or so, we're going to see if this lineup, if the way this team goes about its business, if it's good enough to stay in first and show that this is not just a mirage. I don't believe it is because I believe the pitching is here to stay. And I believe that this offense with its mix of good hitting, getting on base, adding some speed here and there, I think it's a good lineup and it's going to score runs. But like I said, like a lot of fans have said, it's missing one bat. And we said that before we came into the season. But remember, that bat probably didn't come because Cano was here and his salary was here. They got rid of Cano last week, which was a surprising move for me because I didn't think they'd do it. I think they needed to do it, but I didn't think they would. There's a difference. With the Wilpons here, there was a lot of things they needed to do and never did. They actually got rid of Cano. Dom Smith is getting more playing time now, and we're going to see. Dom Smith's chance for excuses are over. He's not going to play every day, but him and J.D. Davis are going to play more. And hopefully that's where the power comes from. This next month or so is going to be very exciting watching these Mets and Yankees play, hoping that they can, you know, keep playing well. No one expects that you're going to have a season where there's not going to be any rough patches, but keep playing well. And, you know, the Mets got a 4-5 game lead right now. And of course, no one's standing watching this early. But it's a good situation to be in. They were in first place over 100 games last year, 100 days, and they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't win the wild card. They didn't do anything. So nothing's promised, but it just looks like a different team. I'm waiting for DeGrom to come back, and who knows when that'll be? Maybe July. Trevor May just went out for about 12 weeks, so that's a problem. The already, you know, decent bullpen just lost a guy who, while he isn't a star, was going to be counted on to get big outs in the seventh or eighth inning on times. So let's see what happens as time goes on. Like I said, the Mets, as of right now, they're losing 7-1 in Philly, a team that doesn't hit that well and doesn't hit for power. Even though they're in Philly, I'm not sure they're going to come back. But even if they don't, you haven't lost a series all year. Try to keep it that way. I know it's a lot easier said than done because this has never happened to them. So, you know, you go out and you have three more games if weather permits, because it looks like a game or two is going to get canceled. Go out there and win these games. And hopefully the next time I talk to you guys, the Mets and the Yankees are still in first. And we got something else to talk about more positive. Again, I know it had been a couple of weeks. I thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for following all of this time. Look forward to more content coming soon. Looks like there's going to be video coming out soon. So you guys, you know, want to follow on YouTube, stuff like that. And again, you guys have a great night. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Ryan Apple Sports Podcast.